In lesson seven, we told about the routing, the second main role of the network layer. And then a little bit also about additional functions of router on perimeter of a local network. The first question is how does the routing algorithm work? So the important thing is that routing algorithm must be run on every computer in TCP/IP network. Oh, must be, should be run on every computer. So if a computer wants to send a packet, it's necessary to search in so-called routing table and find all possible records that match this particular target. And there should be more of such results, of such matching records. If there is no matching record, it means that the packet cannot be sent. So typically, you'll get on a client, you'll get a message like "no route to host." And if the situation occurs on a server, then on a router, then the router sends back a message in ICMP that there is a problem with routing. Typically, in normal circumstances, at a normal end node, end station, the situation is very simple. So the routing algorithm is also very simple because typically there is only one record with so-called default router, and it means all traffic which is not to which is in other network than our network should be sent to the default router. So if we have the default router record or default record in the routing table, then the first case, so the result "no route to host" cannot occur because at least this one, at least the default route, will match the destination, and then the record will be sent to the default router. So if we have some results from the routing table search, then we get the best of them. The best means such a record that has maximum length, so the minimum area, so minimal network, because this is the best for us. For instance, the default route, the record, default record, it has a network mask 0 bytes, so it's really very, very wide. It's in the case of IP version 4, it's 32 bits wide area. So if we have another record matching our destination, the record will be chosen. And now, when we have the best record of all matching records, we look at the record and we decide what to do with it. So if it is our address, then the packet is simply returned back to the stack, like if it directly came from the network. And if it is for our network, then no special action is needed. We just use the appropriate network interface and to send the packet using the data link layer, of course, to the destination. and in the case that the record was indirect or default route, then we use the gateway, which is written in the record, and we send the data to this router. So we use the data link layer with the IP packet and instruction to send it to the nearest router. So this is the algorithm, and we already used few facts from it. So the second question described the types of columns and records in the routing table was already partially answered. So we have three basic columns in the routing table, which is destination and network mask. The network mask tells how wide is the area that's for this record, this is matching with this record. And it also tells us how many bits of the address of our destination and the address in the table should be compared. So as I already told, for the default route, the length is zero. So we test zero bits from our address and zero bits from the record in the routing table. And it, of course, it matches, but it matches for zero bits. So if there is a better record matching for more than zero bits, then this will be chosen. So the netmask tells how many bits are taken in account when comparing. And the third most important column is the gateway. So it means that this is either really a router in the case of so-called indirect record or default record. And in this case, we send the packet to this router. If we use this router, this record from routing table. And if it is so-called direct record, so it's record about our own network. So we have an interface connected to the record, then the router field is not filled by a router, but it's filled by our address, so that the software knows which interface should be used for sending this packet. So these are columns and records. So we already mentioned also all the types, so direct, indirect, and default route, default record. And also we told about the classification according to creation of the record. So it is either implicit, so it means that this particular record it's created immediately when an IP address is assigned to a particular interface. And the other type is explicit, so it means that there is a command route, and this command was executed for adding a new record to routing table, either manually or by software. And then the last possible type is dynamic, in which case the record is added to the routing table after some communication with our neighbors in the network, our neighboring routers, and then a new record will be added or was added to the routing table. So these are information about the routing table, and now the important question is how the routing table should be managed. And we have two strategies, two methods of routing table management. One is static, and this is the case when only a few records are added by software, by an operating system to the networking, to the routing table. And this is, for instance, typical case in which is our computer, our mobile, when we are connecting to a local network via DHCP. In this case, we get the IP address together with a default router. So in this case, after configuring the particular network interface, operating system also adds the default route to our routing table. And that's all what our station needs for correct routing in typical case, in typical situation, because typically the end station is connected to so-called stub network, in which case the network is connected only via one router to the rest of the world. So we don't need anything more than a default route. However, this static routing table management is suitable exactly only in these cases in which the network is simple and stable. And in other cases, we need dynamic routing, dynamic routing table management. So it means that we must run a routing protocol. We must run a software piece that understand the protocol, can communicate in this protocol with other routers in the network. And using this network protocols, network routing protocols, the information about the network is managed, and also the routing table is adapted according this information. So the routing protocols are, this is like the next question. Routing protocols are protocols for exchanging the information about the situation in the network. And we told about two basic groups of routing protocols, distance vector and link state protocols. The basic difference is that the distance vector routing protocols work with distance vectors. So it has the router has information about various networks and in the local network, and the distances, metrics to this network. What is it, the distance? It depends on particular protocol. We told about a protocol called RIP, Router Information Protocol, which is a very old protocol. This is the advantage is implemented on all computers, so we can run it with no problem. And but this protocol is only suitable for, again, for small networks. The reason is that the distance there is, in fact, number of hops, number of routers along the path from one network to another. And it cannot take in account the quality of the line. So if we have lines of different qualities, we can solve it in RIP with a trick that we artificially increase the metrics, the distance to a network, adding some value, let's say 2. It means we behave similarly, like if there are 2 more routers on this particular connection, and then this line will be not preferred. But if we have only few values that we can add, because the infinity here in RIP is only 16. So we don't, we are not able to manage networks with several different network bandwidths, or networks that are a little bit more complex than the value of 15 could be reached by a real number of routers and these additional values for the quality of lines. The reason for which the infinity is in RIP so small is so-called counting to infinity, which is problem that if in some situation, if there are some race condition that different actions, various actions occur in wrong order, and in this case, if there is an error in the calculation, then the routers must sequentially increase the value of an unreachable network up to the infinity until all the time the network is not accessible. So, or the information that the network is not working, is not accessible, is not known for all stations in the network. And then the reason for which the infinity is not too high, because otherwise it took a very, very long time. It still takes several minutes, which is not good. This is the problem of distance vector protocols, that if one router makes a mistake, then this mistake is spread to all other routers in the network, because they simply take this information, and this information will be incorporated to the tables in other routers and spread again to the rest of the network. So this is the basic problem of distance vector protocols: slow convergence and spreading the erroneous information. Link state protocols, on the other hand, do not work with distance vector. They have each router in link state protocols has own map of the network, and it only sends and receives information about status of links. So it's something like if you are driving a car and you are listening a radio and you hear some information that a road or a bridge in front of you is in operation or there's a problem, then you can take a roadmap and find your own better route how you can pass the problem. And this is the situation of link state protocols. If a router gets information about a problem in the network, the router is able to recalculate, remap the network and change the routing table according to the best path. So these protocols are better for larger networks, which change very quickly. So then link state protocols are definitely better. This is the information about the two groups of IGP, internal gateway protocols. And we have also another group of protocols, exterior gateway protocols. And these protocols, they handle routing between autonomous system, AS. What an AS is, it's a group of networks that have common routing policy. So they can be considered one network from the point of view of other networks in the internet. Typically, AS is assigned for an ISP, for internet service provider, or for a large company that has, for instance, a affiliates in different countries. So in this case, you can have this autonomous system also in the country. So as I told at the beginning, when internet came to the Czech Republic, or Czech Republic joined the internet, then we had two autonomous systems, and now we have about several hundreds. The basic difference for EGP comparing to AGP is that they especially care about routing loops, because on the internet backbone it's much easier to make a loop, because it's not so trivial to handle all information changes in all networks. So it's easy to make a routing loop, and that's why the routing protocols from the group of exterior gateway protocols, they work with so-called AS path. And it means that when they construct a path to a network, they collect all autonomous systems numbers of autonomous systems that were gone through. And that's why they can easily detect a potential loop. So if they are going to add a new autonomous system and they check that the autonomous system already was in the path, then there is a problem, and they can prevent negative aspects of this situation. Then we talked a little bit about one technical protocol called ICMP, Internet Control Message Protocol, which is used for sending control messages about IP network that can be used by stations or routers for better behavior in the network according to the information received. The most important ICMP messages are echo and echo reply, time exceeded, and destination unreachable. ICMP echo is used by ping program. So if you use ping and name or IP address of a computer, then your computer will start sending ICMP echo messages. And when the message arrives at the target station, the software on the target station will respond with ICMP echo reply. The important thing is that you don't need any special software running on the target machine, that the IP software itself responds for this messages if it is not banned. The time exceeded is a little bit confusing, the name, because the time here doesn't mean real time in seconds or something like that, but simply number of hops, number of routers that are allowed to forward to the packet. This is connected to the TTL field in the IP header, so which is the next question. And the TTL again means time to live. And again, it doesn't mean time, but the number of routers. If the router has to forward a packet to another network, it checks the value of the TTL in the IP header and decreases the value by one. And if the result of the operation of the decrement is zero, then the packet is not forwarded more, and instead an ICMP time exceeded message is sent back to the original sender. The reason is that if there accidentally a routing loop occurs in the network, then no packet will be looping forever. So if the value of the TTL in the packet reaches zero, then the packet will be dropped. And we already told that the TTL is used by traceroute program, which is used for diagnosis of a network. If we have a problem with some destination network, we can try to call a traceroute program, and the traceroute program, the traceroute sends series of packets. And the trick is that the first series is sent with TTL value 1. So it means that no router can forward the packet. So even the first router drops the packet and return back the ICMP time exceeded message. And our program, the traceroute, will print on the output the time when the ICMP time exceeded returned. And then it increases the value of TTL by 1 and sends the packet again to the network. So in this case, the second packet will cross the first router and will be dropped by the second router on the path. And we again receive the ICMP time exceeded. And so we know the IP address of the second router. And this way, the traceroute program increases the TTL up to getting the final information, final response from the target machine. So in the positive case, we can check all the routers on the path to the destination. And if there is a problem in the network, then this queue of routers is in some point interrupted. So from one point, starting from one point, no ICMP time exceeded are received. And so it means that somewhere around this router, the last router that really responded, there is a problem. So it could be either exactly on this router, on the last router that responded, that the router sent the packet on wrong destination. It could be behind, one router behind this last router. So it means that it was sent correctly, but the next router has some problem. Or the problem should be also one router before the last router, in the case when the last router that responded should not get the packet from the previous router at all. So this is the TTL field. And I return back to the previous question about ICMP, because we have there one more important ICMP message, which is destination unreachable. And destination unreachable is sent by a router or a station in situation when it cannot deliver a packet. In router case, it is typically in situation where some problem in routing occurs, so the router cannot forward the packet to the destination and sends back the information destination unreachable. In the case of end station, the situation typically means that you were trying to contact a UDP message, a UDP service by a UDP message on the target computer. However, the service is not working. So in UDP case, this is the only way how you could get the information that something happens. In the TCP case, when you are trying to make a TCP connection, the situation is better because it can be solved directly in the protocol, in the TCP protocol. So on the transport layer. Because in this case, if you send a SYN packet, first packet from the three-way handshake, then if there is no service running on the particular port, then the TCP software on the target machine will send you back response in TCP protocol, and the response has a reset flag, which means no connection will be opened. So rejection of the attempt to make a connection. In UDP, UDP is stateless, so we cannot send any information in UDP, and the original sender doesn't expect any information like this. So we have the only possibility, which is the ICMB protocol and destination unreachable message is sent back to the originator, and the software, the IP software on the original sender will receive this message and inform the application that there is a problem. This was the ICMP protocol, and now we can move to the additional functions of router on the perimeter of a network, which is IP filtering. IP filtering is a basis of most of firewalls in the network, and in fact it means that a router is checking the communication between local network and the internet. And which is a little bit confusing is the name, because IP filtering doesn't mean filtering on IP layer, because for proper function it must work at the transport layer, because it must look and check the destination and source ports also, not only IP addresses but also ports, because the IP filter is configured by instructions like, if a client from local network is willing to contact server in internet on port with this number, then it's permitted or forbidden. And so it must work with this port, so it works at transport layer. We told about several strategies, very strict strategy that allows only communication from internet network to outside world on specific ports, in which case it's very hard to run protocols that use several channels. HTTP will be okay, but for instance, FTP will have problem, because for transferring data, we need additional data connection. And if no other connections are allowed through the IP filter, we will not be able to use it. If the filtering software is not able to look at the application layer, not only transport layer, but application layer, in which case the software can see in the FTP control connection the command or response that offers IP address and port. And in this case, the IP filter can, for a while, for 5 seconds, for instance, open a hole through the firewall and allow particular client and particular server to particular port open a connection. If not, then in this strict case, we cannot use this multi-channel protocols like FTP or SIP. So that's the reason that the strict filter is not very often used. More typical situation is that from internal network, we allow any communication to the outside world, in which case, in FTP, for instance, we can use the passive creation of data channels. Still, we are not able to make active connection, because active connection means that the server will try open data connection against our network, and this is not allowed. By the way, what it means, the direction from internal or external network, of course, when we want to communicate, packets must traverse over the router in both directions, of course. But it's important who initiated the connection. So who sent the first SYN packet, the first packet from the three-way handshake. This direction is meant as direction of the connection. So it's not available for UDP communication, only for TCP connections. And we talked also about DMZ, demilitarized zone, which means that if we want to allow external clients to contact some service in our network, it's a good strategy to make a special segment called DMZ, to have a special set of rules on the border between internet and DMZ, which will be a little bit less strict than the border between internet and our network, and also between our internal network and DMZ, so that we are able to contact servers in DMZ also from our network. And also the rules at this border will be not so strict. But in both cases, it means that if we permit anyone in the internet to access to the DMZ, then for us, the DMZ is still a little bit dangerous zone. So this is the principle of IP filtering. And the last question is about another additional function that could be run on mostly on the router on the perimeter of the network, and this is proxy server. Proxy server is a service in which we want to monitor communication in particular protocol. Typical reason for monitoring is both security reason. For instance, we want to prevent incoming of viruses and other kinds of wrong software over the router to the internal network, or some strategy of the company. So we can check the request, whether it's permitted by the policy. Both reasons can lead to making a proxy server. And the proxy server is either transparent or non-transparent version or mode of operation. The transparent operation means that we need not to tell anything to the local clients, because the proxy server is running on the router. If a client wants to make connection to the server in the internet, the packet must be sent to the router, and the router can capture the packet and pass the packet to the proxy server. And proxy server will register the request. Of course, first checks whether the request is correct, and then it sends the request to the external server, stores the response in a cache, and then send the response to the original client. So there is also the reason that we can cache the information, so it can save some traffic on outer line from our network. The non-transparent version means that the proxy server is could be run on different computer. So the hardware on the router need not to be good for caching and checking everything, because router has different tasks. Router is in the network for routing. So this is the advantage that we can move this kind of operation, which is not good for the software and hardware on the router. We can move it to a different computer, different server in the network. But in this case, we have to tell all the clients where the proxy server is. It could be done either manually or by an automatic way. And in this case, the client, instead of trying to connect the server directly, the client knows that it's necessary to send the request to the proxy server.
Non-transparent proxy can be used only in protocols that have a way how to tell the server that the server is not the target, the final target of the request, that the request should be only forwarded to another server.
Which is, for instance, the case of HTTP. So for HTTP, the proxy server is
acceptable. The problem, current problem, is that many servers in the world moved to HTTPS, which means that the connection is encrypted in end-to-end basis. So in this case, the proxy cannot simply be the man in the middle and check both the request and response, because the connection is encrypted.